Just been having a chat with David Crawley from the Samaritans. Morning, David. How are you?
Morning, Ian. I'm fine. Lovely day.
It is a lovely day. I was trying to work out the accent. Now, is it? First of all, I thought you were a Geordie.
I am.
But then you let slip that you were from Liverpool as well?
No. Son was in Liverpool.
Right.
But I'm originally from Tyneside.
Oh, right. So you were a Magpies fan?
Yeah.
Through and through? Yeah, good for you. Anyway, we're here to talk about the Samaritans. And I was quite surprised that they've been moved now from the bottom of town where the Coppins roundabout was. And you've been moved from there up to opposite Morrison's now for almost 5 years?
Well, we've been there 5 or 6 years now, and it's a better location. We don't have cockroaches there, as we had in the old building. And it's ideal for our purpose. So, you know, it's a location. People driving to Newport and they see it.
Well, I mean, so Samaritans is, for me, they've always been there. You never know quite what they do. You have a rough idea. Never actually called the Samaritans. Been lucky enough not to have to call somebody. But obviously people do. So, you know, what outline, what do the Samaritans actually do? How far can they go?
Well, we're a listening service, so we don't offer advice. But we're there for people who are suicidal. But it's a myth that Samaritans is only there for people who are suicidal. We're there for people who are in distress and despair. So people can ring us, they can talk to us, they can talk in complete confidence. We never judge people. They can email us, we also have an email service, or they can pop in and see us and talk things through.
So, just say, for instance, if there are people out there now listening and thinking, crikey, I could have done with having the number last night. What is the number? How do they get in touch?
Well, the number is 08457 90 90 90.
Hang on, I'll make a note of that. 08457 90 90 90. Do you reckon one day they'll give you a number that anybody can sort of, you know, what's the chance of that?
I think the long-term aim, and, you know, it's something which is being discussed nationally, is that we become a free service, because at the moment that's a local call number, but we want to be able to provide the service free of charge to callers. So that's part of the overall strategy for Samaritans nationally.
Are you surprised it hasn't been done already? I mean, it's not no fault of yours, but other companies and maybe government, maybe councils as well, must look into this.
Other charities such as Childline do have a free service, but they've received funding in order to do that. Samaritans is funded almost exclusively by fundraising. So, you know, it's local people raising money. Our charity Swim, which raises over £30,000 a year, keeps us afloat. Without those, our branch would close.
Wow. So what happens when, you know, just say, for instance, there's somebody in God's Hill, they phone that number. Do they get through to someone on the Isle of Wight? Or is it numbers filtered through around everywhere?
It depends, because we've only got 46 listening volunteers, so we can't be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We desperately want more volunteers.
Sure.
Not just for listening, but also for our shop. Which is vital to the survival of the branch. But if someone rings and we are open, chances are this would be the first place that would come through to from God's Hill, so it would ring in our branch. If our lines are busy, the call would be transferred to another branch, maybe Portsmouth or Southampton, with the aim that they will manage to get through to someone and speak to them.
So, what you're doing, you're offering a vital service.
Well, it's a service which, you know, you hope you never need. But people do need us. We're glad that we can be there. And, you know, it sounds a silly thing to say, but when you've had, let's call it a tough shift, coming out at, say, 5:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning from doing a shift, you feel, I was glad I was there. Because you've helped people.
Which is a lovely thing.
Yes.
I just want to ask you, because you've obviously been, you know, you've come from Tyneside, and you may have travelled around. You said it was in Liverpool. So how does the Isle of Wight compare to other areas. The reason why I ask that is because I think we've got the lowest level of unemployment in the country. A councillor once said to me, and I think she may be right, a long time ago, that you know, she believes that probably 80% of the Isle of Wight population are probably depressed on some kind of medication, which means that you're probably going to be busy. How busy are you compared to other places in the country?
It's difficult to say. We take about 12,000 contacts a year, so about 1,000 a month. And we're only open about 50 hours a week, so you can do the maths and work out how many people per hour. So, you know, and if we were open more, we would take more calls. That's without a doubt, because there's over 5 million contacts to Samaritans every year. Whether we are busier than elsewhere, I think it's hard to judge. I think, you know, people all over the country having tough times and have problems.
Sure, but I mean, do you find it, just say for instance, if you were to talk to, you know, someone local and they hear a Geordie accent, or, you know, do you feel as though you can make contact with them anyway?
I think absolutely. You know, it's all we are human beings talking to another human being.
The reason why I ask that question is because, you know, maybe you know, we've got a service on the Isle of Wight, White Fibre, completely different, but you know that as soon as you phone White Fibre, you get through to someone from the island, and you know they're going to understand a little bit about, maybe even know you. It's that close-knit a community. But, I mean, how important is that, to actually know the area and perhaps know the issues that this person may have? Is it better not to know anything at all?
I think probably if someone's ringing us, they're not necessarily concerned about, are you on the Isle of Wight or are you in Scunthorpe or wherever. It's about, I need to talk to someone. And, you know, you do spend time talking to someone and building up trust and confidence so that they'll open up about what are the issues that they're facing. Mm. And hopefully by talking to us, they may be able to better explore their options.
How do people become, you know, a Samaritan? You mentioned, what, 46 people on the island, which doesn't suggest a massive amount, but good on them. Mm. How, I mean, if you know, for people listening, how do they get involved? How do they become a Samaritan?
Well, the first thing is to contact Samaritans, and they can do that through our national website and express an interest in volunteering. And we will be given that information. And from then, we'll send them some more information and invite them along to an information day. And then we go through a selection process, because basically we're looking for people who have empathy. So people who can stand alongside someone and try and see it from their perspective. We train them. So the training lasts about 9 weeks. And then we mentor them for a further 6 weeks. So by that point, it's about 3 to 4 months. In terms of support before we allow them to take a phone call by themselves. And at that point, we go through a second stage training, and it takes about 6 to 8 months to get to become a Samaritan.
Right. A lot of hard work then. But then at the end of it, you know, it's you've got to be dedicated.
Well, I think you've got to be dedicated to want to do it, and you've got to accept the fact that, you know, that you are going to come in at unsocial hours. You know, you might be asked to do a shift at 2 o'clock in the morning. So everyone does those shifts, at least one of those a month. And I think generally if someone's awake at 3 o'clock and ringing us, you know, they do have problems.
You look knackered. Were you up late last night? Were you on shift last night?
I was up early this morning.
Right, okay. You got that look of it. I tell you, you hope you don't mind me saying so, but you look like a cross between John Pertwee.
Thank you.
And who was the bloke that was in the Sweeney?
John Thor.
Yeah, sadly both no longer with us, but look, there's not a connection there. But that's it. You kind of look like the cross between.
I also need a good night's sleep.
Yeah. So just give us that number again. If people were interested, how do they get involved? And, you know, some people might think, right, okay, well, I want to be able to find out a little bit more, but I don't want to feel pressured into it just in case. So how do they do that?
Well, if they go to the national website, which is, I think, www.samaritans.org, they'll see a link there where they can express an interest in volunteering. There'll be a small form to fill in, and then that information will be sent to our branch. We will then make contact with that person and invite them in and tell them a bit about what we do. We do go through a selection process because we want to make sure people aren't vulnerable.
Mm.
And we will train them, and eventually they will become Samaritans.
I'm guessing they have to be 18.
You've got to be over 18, but there's no upper age limit. Our youngest volunteer, I think, started when they were 19, and our oldest volunteer is 84.
That's lovely to know that there are people both ends of the spectrum. Yeah. I mean, 19 is has a lot of weight on someone's shoulders. Well, they must be very mature.
They've been doing it for a couple of years now, so that person's 21, and the person who was 84 has been doing it for over 40 years.
How wonderful. And she can obviously pass on a wealth of experience to others around her.
Well, it's quite nice. You go into the branch and you feel supported because everyone's interested in each other and making sure everyone's okay. So it's quite a good atmosphere to work in.
I would imagine it is. And you've got a shop as well that runs.
We've got a shop in Lugley Street. It's not open up as many hours as we would like because we're short of volunteers there. But if people wanted to volunteer to work in the shop, they could pop in and have a chat with someone. But we would benefit from having a few more people there.
Okay. And obviously, if you would want to help out in the shop, and then obviously pop into the shop maybe, or
I think probably the best bet is just pop into the shop and have a chat with someone, and then we'll just go through a little process to make sure that person understands the service. I mean, everyone who works or volunteers for Samaritans does go through an initial training where we just explain what the service is and what we try to do and how we try to help people.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, look, it's really... Have you got a website that we can go to? Is there a local...
There's the national one, and we have a little website off that.
Right, okay. So we go to the national website. Just remind us what the national website is.
It's www.samaritans.org.
You'd be surprised the amount of people that go, hang on a minute, I know what it is, on the tip of my tongue. But there is a local link that you can click on.
There'll be a local link on that site, which will tell you a bit about our branch.
Okay. David, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and hopefully we'll talk again sometime.
Well, thank you for inviting me in. Really appreciate it.
A pleasure.